Good, good. Very excited. Next week, challenge, yeah? You can feed someone like your neighbor for free. And it would be wonderful. Challenge to bring people. Now, we've been going through a series on David, but I'm going to actually pause here on the series on David and talk about something I feel is very important and urgent and timely issue, and talk about that. That is, Australia will have to make a choice very soon. Well, we have to, every nation has to make choices regarding our stand on Israel, and Australia has to choose wisely. So I want to talk about that, what's at stake. I've just got some news clip. Can you see? Oh, yeah. It's time for Australia to choose wisely. We've been making choices increasingly, but we have to make another choice. And I'm praying. It looks like not a lot of people are praying for this. I haven't seen, you know, there are some prayer letters, and we're quite connected, but I haven't seen anybody calling for prayer for Australia to make a choice whether we move our embassy to Jerusalem or not. Right now, it's in Tel Aviv. May this year, Trump moved their embassy to Jerusalem to recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Since then, just one other country has made that move. It's Guatemala. Do you know whether even Guatemala is? And all other embassies generally are in Tel Aviv. And some, you know, countries don't even recognize Israel as a nation. Some of the charters around the surrounding nations, their charter, their purpose for their existence is to wipe out Israel. But it's not possible to do that because the Word of God, if you can wipe out Word of God, if you can wipe out God, then after that you can wipe out Jews and Israel. That's a pretty difficult thing to do. And I believe this is a very, not only symbolic, this is significant for nations. And Australia has just floated. Can you go to the next one? I'll just give you a few news clips, three of them. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has coped a backlash over the idea of moving Australia embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem from Indonesia, Jerusalem, from Indonesia, Palestine, and other predominantly Muslim countries, as well as federal opposition. Since he floated the idea last month, I think it was October 15th, something like that, before last month's crucial Wentworth by-election. So that's straight from the news clip. And since then, Senator Pine, she refused to be drawn into the debate when the deal with Australia's northern neighbor will be signed. And she did say it couldn't be conflated with embassy issue. What's happening is that Indonesia, foreign minister, has said that if Australia insists on moving its embassy to Jerusalem, then the signing of the trade deal that is worth $16.5 billion will be delayed. And then Senator Pine is saying, no, this is our decision. Australia must be free to choose our own foreign the affairs decision. But then they've said that actually it does hang on it. They said that $16.5 billion worth of trade deal with Indonesia will be delayed depending on, you know, our position. Now, this is not a very good friendly gesture. You know, one nation doesn't really impinge on another nation's decision on foreign issues. So, what's the last word? There's been some word within, I'm actually getting a bit confused. What did I put in there? What they are saying is there's been some leak that Australian, you know, spokesperson, one of the minister, has assured Indonesian, you know, counterpart, saying that there's less than 5% chance of actually moving our Australian embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So don't worry, please sign the deal. That's what they're supposed to have said, which is very unwise. Because we shouldn't be pressurized into making decisions. Australia is a sovereign state. We must make our own decision. Better still, if we make decision based on the word of God. So people are saying, and the newspapers are saying, it's less than 5% chance, and opposition leader has been repeatedly saying, you know, Prime Minister has made Australian people look stupid, trying to follow, you know, President Trump, Donald Trump. There's a heavy cost attached to it. So they're calling Scott Morrison to back off and acknowledge that's a mistake. And we don't even have to wait until Christmas. Let's just say we made a mistake and back off from this idea. That's the pressure. And when you hear Senator, what's his name?
Penny Wong.
Penny Wong saying it also very strongly. So our Prime Minister is in a lot of pressure from within his cabinet as well, because some people within his cabinet is saying that I think it's a mistake. And then opposition's obviously very strong, as well as Indonesian government, putting pressure on it. Since then, what happened? There was a G20, nothing of that was discussed. Scott Morrison didn't raise the issue with Donald Trump, and it's just, we're just keeping quiet. Keeping quiet, and we're saying that we hope to make a decision by the end of December. We'll make a decision at the end of December, and Foreign Affairs Minister is saying that two issues shouldn't be mixed together. So when you're ready, sign it to Indonesia. Let's sign, because it's two different things. We will make our own decision by the end of December, but you know, when the trade deal is ready, let's sign it. Now, what Indonesia is saying, when we're going to sign, it's ready. Trade deal is ready. But if you're going to make a decision to move your embassy, then the signing will be delayed. So what do? You can't please everybody. Either way, you're going to have some enemies. So where do we come in? That's when the church comes in. We can pray. And we can release armies of diplomats without physical bodies. Angels. Amen? And I believe this is an important one, recognizing Jerusalem as rightfully belonging to Israel is in line with the Word of God. Because you know what the Word of God says? That God will gather all nations and enter into judgment with the nations based on how they treated Jewish people and the land. Because nations are trying to divide the land. We'll just quickly go through. There are some positive news. On Friday night, I appreciate everybody who gathered to pray, because last Sunday we were praying and I felt God is saying, just focus your prayer, because decision, we are saying, Australian government is saying that we're going to make a decision by the end of the year. And it's not a lot of time we can pray. We will make a decision. It's not, it looks like a small thing, but the small things can make a big difference down, a few years down the track. It may be, it's not that small step, actually, it's a big step. And we must pray, and I feel God is saying, if you pray, I'll remember those who will pray for this issue. If we love Australia, we will pray according, because we can pray, God bless us. Well, the better way of, you know, God making sure that God blesses Australia is that we become blessable. Right? By positioning our policy in line with the Word of God, and blessing flows. You can't actually run from blessing. because the word of God overtakes you. Nations will come under blessing or curse based on the word of God. Now, yesterday I checked some news. You probably don't realize this, but there are some positive news as well, Nathan. Next slide. Is that Australia rejects biased resolution, UN resolution. Australia has stood firm in opposing six biased annual resolutions against Israel in the United Nations General Assembly, including three which it had previously abstained. Australia previously have abstained since Labour government, with Bob Carr being quite anti-Israel, have shifted our view and our position away from Israel for some years. So on important issues, we've been abstaining our votes. But December 6th, Jewish news, December 6th, that was Thursday, just last Thursday, our government changed its vote to no on resolution, calling on Israel to return to Golan Heights to Syria. Okay, there's a rules of engagement. When you engage in war, or when you get invaded and you fight back, you actually take your land that belongs to you. That's a rules of engagement, 1967. Another ignoring Jewish... okay, what's going on here? Yeah. Anyway, so Australia is saying, no, Golan Heights belong to Israel. You shouldn't return it. However, what happened? All six resolutions still passed overwhelmingly in the UNGA last Thursday. That's very sad. What's happening is the UN and the world stand had been consistently moving against Israel. And they're calling Israel to return to pre-1967 border. Now, it's going to erupt into something. Next one. Next, Nathan, slide. Now, failure of UN General Assembly resolution, activities of Hamas and other militant groups in Gaza. This one is a news from December 8th, yesterday. Australia supported this UN General Assembly resolution to condemn egregious and ongoing violent acts of the terrorist organization Hamas and to restore some balance to the United Nations' consideration of Israeli-Palestinian issues. Yesterday. You know Hamas, what Hamas is? They've been sending rockets from Gaza into Israeli land, targeting anybody, civilians and everything. Hamas and other militant groups' conduct in Gaza is confrontational, violent, and provocative. And Australia condemns Hamas's activity in the strongest possible terms. I believe that's a step in the right direction. That's encouraging. Just happened yesterday. We've been praying on Friday. We need to pray for our government. There are a lot of forces, a lot of pressures, a lot of threats, a lot of misinformation. And what prayer does is it clears the issue so that people can make decisions without undue pressure that is not godly. Now, while simple majority of countries voted in favor of resolution, yes, 87, no, 57, abstain, 33. The failure of international community to condemn Hamas, a terrorist organization, with the requisite majority in the UNGA is appalling. What happened was that the U.S. put this motion, it failed because it did not get two-thirds majority. So Hamas is sending rockets to, you know, target any civilians, anybody, just shoot into the territory. UN is not condemning that act, saying it's fine. But they are calling to Israel to return, give the land, and just push them off. This is the overall where things are going, mood of the nations. Now, Nathan, next one. Okay, let's read Zechariah 12 now. When it's read, you can read it with me, okay? I'll read the rest. Red one, men read. Blue one, ladies read. And I'm going to read the rest because God says, I will, seven times in there. The red is highlighted with God saying, I will. And the blue is what will happen. Okay? So the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Drunkenness to all the surrounding people. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Next one. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the wood pile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be that they, in that day, that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And land shall mourn, every family by itself, family of house of David by itself, their wives by themselves, and the family of house of Nathan by itself and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself and their wives by themselves, family of Shimei by itself and their wives by themselves, and the families that remain, every family by itself and their wives by themselves. Amen. The next one, Nathan. Okay. It says, God who created the universe and sustains universe, controls and sustains every breath of man on his created universe, he says. God, who not only created, sustains, but controls the history, saying, I will surely do this. And he says, seven times he says, I will. And he's talking about Jerusalem and nations, all nations. This is the final act. This is how the history of mankind will close. And then there are two more chapters. One more war shortly after this. But there's a war that's coming that nations will be gathered against Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. God had put his name on the city. God gave it. When God sent Moses to take the Israelites out, he says, I'm going to appoint for you a city. I'm going to put my name on it. That city will be God's city and your capital city forever. City of David. That's Jerusalem. God had put his name there. And he says, I will seven times. Seven times. God will do this. God will initiate this. Nations will be gathered. And Jerusalem, interestingly, is the only capital city in the world that actually has no logical reason to be a capital city, because there's no trade route, no river, no, significant natural resources, no harbor, no port, nothing. Less than 1 million people live in there. 850,000 people live in there, yet it is the issue that will divide the nations of the world. There are 7.5 billion people in the world. This is a 0.01% of the people in a small city that has no natural resources will divide the whole world into two opinions. It's incredible. Jewish people in the land is about 6.5 million people. It's 0.1% of the world population. It's going to be people, the nations will be divided into two. Either you're a sheep nation or a goat nation. Either you're going to bring judgment of God upon yourselves or blessing of God. It's incredible. God says, he put it in his words so clearly and saying, ignorance is not a bliss. God has put it down thousands of years ago. Say, if we follow the word, we end up getting blessed. We don't even have to pray for it. Okay? And he says, this is, when that day comes, Jerusalem will be three things. Jerusalem will be a cup too strong, a drink for nations to swallow. It will be a stone too heavy for a nation to move. And it will be a fire too hot to handle. Too hot to handle. That's the city of Jerusalem. 850,000 people. Nations will try to move it, divide it, push it. And instead of pushing it, the stone will roll back and they will be cut to pieces. Nations, he said, God says, even the whole world, all the nations come against it, I will do this. There's an invisible hand of God resting upon the nation. And any politician, anyone who has authority, we better get acquainted with what kind of God is controlling his own resources, his own people, and the history. And he says, it'll be a cup too strong to drink. Nations will be drunk with it. They'll reel to and fro. But finally, when they come against this nation to fight with a firepower with bullets and guns and missiles, Israel will turn into a fire too hot to handle. It will consume them. It will consume left and right. Next one. This is the warning of God to the nations. Nations will eventually come against Jerusalem. When you read carefully, it seems there are, whole nations are, all the world nations are involved politically before this happens, but there are surrounding people, they will be involved in actually sieging, laying siege on the city of Jerusalem. But it won't be just Jerusalem, it will be first Judah, and then it will move to Jerusalem. Where is Judah right now? Judah is all this area, West Bank, bottom part of West Bank will be involved in it, and the reason why God does it that way is so that it's not, in the olden days, Israel versus Judah. This war will actually end up serving the unity of the nation of Israel. They will become united as one because the victory is not just the Jerusalem victory, it's a victory of all of Israel. It's the glory of Israel, and that will actually bring their faith back to God. Because very critical inner conversation of the governors of Judah is actually recorded here. They are saying, IDF leaders and the politicians, top politicians, if Bibi Netanyahu is alive at the time, he will be saying in his heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord Yahweh of hosts, their God. They're remembering the God of their fathers and they're remembering the people of Jerusalem. It will be a war that will begin to turn the hearts of the leaders of Israel back towards God of their covenant. It will be a decisive move. And then during the sea, suddenly God will move. The Lord will move and God says he will do three things. He will strike them with confusion. And then he will give them madness. And then he will strike them with blindness. Now, we don't know exactly how it's going to pan out. It's possible EMP attack can blind all their radars and, you know, make them crazy. But, you know, it will be supernatural intervention of God so that they will begin to. In what happened in the olden times, whenever God did this, he did more than this once. They begin to turn on each other. They turn on each other. They cannot see. So God will do this. And then Israeli IDF will be mighty. This is a victory that God intervenes, but through the people of Jerusalem, Israel, they're going to have a very, very decisive victory. It will be like David. The feeblest, weakest of Israel will be like David. David, 2 weeks ago, we looked at that slingshot, Goliath, right? It will be like the whole army that surrounds Jerusalem and Judah, the West Bank and all those south, you know, land. So many people will be there. It will be like Goliath coming against David. And with a slingshot, pow, Israel will defy all expectation of the world and come out on top. And Israel will be like God, like the angel of the Lord. Like, you know, undefeatable, mighty. It will turn to Superman with a big S, you know. And then fire will whoosh, whoosh. And, okay, next one. This is the word of God. What is the outcome? Outcome of this war will be, it's very, very interesting the way it's written. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. What happened? Sounds almost to me like that Jerusalem is not inhabited properly in the way that God designed before the war. Now, there are some prophetic voices that are saying that Jerusalem will be divided because the policy of the nations is what? Two-state solution. God's plan is not two-state solution. Even though now, even we thank God for even their proposal because, you know, it's the Palestinians, they don't want two-state solution. They don't want Israel. Full stop. Actually, that Jerusalem, all Jerusalem is what, not where the shopping center is, western part of Jerusalem, but it's actually the eastern part of Jerusalem, city of David, where the Temple Mount stands. Who controls that area? Jordan. Israel actually doesn't control that area in a real term, but it says after that, Jews will inhabit. It'll come under sovereign authority, and Jews will actually live there. Remember in Luke 21, Jesus said that times of the Gentiles. How do we know the times of Gentiles? Jerusalem is trampled underfoot by Gentiles. That is, Jerusalem is occupied and controlled by the foreign power. When that ends, what will happen? It says, spirit of grace and supplication will be poured out on Jerusalem like never before. And I believe church has a part to pray for this. Spirit of supernatural grace to pray. Cry out to God. And as a result, what will happen? Supernatural revelation of who the Messiah is will be given to them. He says, they will see. They will see. Now, the Lord hasn't returned yet. There is still some things to happen. Zechariah, you know, 13 and 14 has to happen. We're still in Zechariah 12. It's just after the war, after the victory, before the final invasion that we know as Armageddon, they are going to see the one whom they have crucified. How is it possible? Because the Spirit of God is poured out. They see through visions and dreams. And it's going to cause the greatest revival in the land that Israel has ever known. And the repentance, deep repentance, and the greatest revival in Israel will begin to take place. All of that, see, Israel's destiny is linked, so interlinked with the land and the people and the law, the word of God, the people. And the land, you can't separate those three. They're all in the same, one whole system. And whenever Israel take the land, see, spiritual revival breaks out. In the world and in the church, absolutely. The parallel is just breathtaking. What does the Romans say? Now, if their fall is the riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if they are being cast away is the reconciling of the world. What will their acceptance be but life from the dead. We are going to have a revival or the move of God, outpouring of the Spirit, like we've never, ever seen before. So it's very, very important that Israel occupy that land, Jerusalem comes back. So now, what do we do? If we accept it, acknowledge it, align ourselves with it, what will happen to us? Blessing. Yeah, in every way, nations. If we fight it, we're trying to move this stone, it's going to roll right back and crush us. Next one. Nations' destiny are being determined. That's the cup too strong, that's the stone too heavy, and that's the fire. Fire is coming. Fire is coming. Nations will experience Jerusalem as a fire that burns. But right now, what are the nations doing? They're trying to move it. They're trying to make some resolution and political things, and they want to disinherit Israel or ignore the rights of Israel to the land. Saying, you know, you came back after 2,000 years, it's too late. It's ours. We've been living in this house for the last 20 years. Even though, you know, your dad gave that house to you and the land, I've been living here for 20 years. It's mine now. And then God says, no. Because God, so what right does Israel have? Since you came back, all these suffering people, in one sense, yes. But who owns the land? Who owns the all the real estate of the world? God. God has the right to give nation or the, you know, title deed of any land, any part of the land to anybody. The Bible says God has put boundaries for the nations and people so that they can live in there. And we keep invading one another to increase our boundary. And God says, no, it's unrighteous. But for Israel, this is the land God had allotted. For behold, Joel chapter 3, let's read together. Behold, in those days, at that time, when I bring back the captives, Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. That's where it's coming to. God's program is not a two-state solution. What is it? It's a single Jewish sovereign state. That's the solution. Now, if you say it outside, you get politically very incorrect. But that's the word of God. Politically very incorrect. There is no nation on earth right now that actually believes one state, Jewish sovereign state solution. No nation. Not US, not Australia, nothing. Jews, Israel, they are on their own. In fact, their own policy are forced, you know, to acknowledge a two-state solution. We're trying to do it, but it's our neighbor who doesn't want to do it. But what God says is no, not two-state. In fact, if two-state is pushed and implemented, what are we doing? We are dividing the land. So we need to understand that when we hear all these, you know, all these political commentators and all that, we need to be pretty clear. At one point, we can be truly supporting Israel, and we can go too far, and in fact, divide the land. And at that point, the blessing will no longer be a blessing, because God's plan is one state. Okay, Psalm 2, it says, why do the nations rage? Nations are raging, raging. Jews have no right to live in there. Jerusalem is not their capital city. We disavow. They're raging. God is laughing. God says, I have set my king in my holy hill, Jerusalem. The next one. I better be quick. Okay. Just a few historically what happened when the nations are trying to push Jerusalem, heave it away, immediately, within a week, sometimes within hours, God responds. Jimmy Carter, in 1979, last time the U.S. government refused to veto an anti-Israel U.N. Security Council resolution 446, Israel lost tremendous amount of territory. On 28th of March, the world's nuclear power plant disaster in U.S. history occurred. It's called the Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown. George Senior Bush, who just passed away. Madrid Peace Conference, he says, territorial compromise is essential for peace. That's what he said. At the same time, perfect storm turned suddenly and destroyed Bush's home. Coincidence? The following year, 92, Madrid Peace Conference moved to Washington, D.C., and the very next day, Hurricane Andrew made a landfall, and it was the greatest natural disaster in U.S. history. And then Clinton, 94, met with Assad to discuss Israel giving up Golan Heights. Within 24 hours, North Ridge earthquake hit Southern California, second worst natural disaster, only discussed. And then when Clinton refused to meet Netanyahu was very stressed with all that, he flew in to meet with Clinton, and he says, you know, I'm busy. On that afternoon, Monica Lewinsky scandal broke out. The same afternoon, he refused to meet. This lady comes out with a white dress. Okay, that's just not too far. George W. Bush. Roadmap to peace was presented to Israel, basically giving up the land. The next 7 days, U.S. was hit by staggering 412 tornadoes. Largest tornado cluster ever recorded. And then 2005, Bush told Israel to evacuate all of the Jewish settlers out of Gaza. That's when it happened. It's a trouble now. And it was completed on the 23rd of August 2005. On the same day, Katrina started forming over the Bahamas and destroyed the city of New Orleans. Now that is the new worst recorded disaster in U.S. history. The next one. Obama, 2011, told Israel to return to the pre-67 border. 3 days later, on May 22nd, half mile wide, multiple vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri, the costliest single tornado in U.S. history. The next one. Now, why is this important? I believe since 2 years ago, December 23rd, UN passed Resolution 2334, I think this is accelerating all the nations begin to. We are laying down our railway track where we're going to end up, because that resolution in UN have basically called Israel to go back to pre-1967 border. Am I losing you? Is it okay? You're okay? Okay. And, you know, just almost exactly 2 years ago, Obama abstained from voting, vetoing UN Council, because it was already pre-planned. It was actually headed up by friends, you know, like friends was the most vocal, and a lot of, you know, European countries, and it was drawn up. In fact, it was to be tabled September, but the U.S. wasn't ready, so they pulled it back. I think it probably have prevented economic collapse that could have happened in October in that year. Some people see it that way. They abstained, and their resolution passed. It was a step in the back. But immediately, Republican senators introduced a bill to move embassy to Jerusalem. Deputy National Security Advisor said U.S. will veto any further U.S. action against Israel. That was that when 70 nations gathered together on the 15th of May to decide on the fate of Israel. In fact, it could have gone bad. And then right there and then, 2 years ago, Jerusalem could have been divided. New state, Palestinian state, could have been established on the east side of Jerusalem, and then western part belonged to Israel. They could have actually divided Jerusalem into half. But that didn't happen, because at that time, what happened? Just before Trump got elected, He says, no, I'm pulling it back, pulling it back. No, no, we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. He says, please don't do that because I am president-elect. I'm coming in. So he's pushing, he's driving as far as he can to the, you know, the other side. And thank God, Trump moved U.S. Embassy to Tel Aviv May this year, recognizing Jerusalem as belonging to Jewish people, Israel. So praise God, it's almost like, you know, the stone was almost crushing, but it's slightly lifted. Has Trump done enough? That's the question. Has he done enough? The next one. What's happening in France? This morning I looked at the newspaper. What's happening in France? 1,300 protesters are arrested. France is going through upheaval. It's burning. And in my heart, I believe very strongly French ambassadors were at the driving, formulating UN resolution 2 years ago, 2334. They've actually called upon Israel. They've said this, Israel has no right to the land based on biblical text. I'm going to go against the Almighty God, and they collided. France has collided with Almighty God, the Word of God. And there are a lot of other things that they've said. I mean, you know, actions proposed by them. What is the future of France? I personally, I mean, love the French people, love the country of France. I've never been there, but I love their food and, you know, they're great people. But I be honest with you, I believe France is going down. It will not reach the, you know, former heights of glory as a nation. When you do something like that, you won't. And thank God, Australia, on the 15th of January, Australia actually did not abstain, but voted against that resolution. And I thank God, we've got hope. Even though we're not as far as we need to be. And what we need to watch out, has U.S. done enough to secure their continual dominance and, you know, big brother in the world? We are yet to see. All of these things, the political move seems like, you know, it's just like nothing, but they are moving angels and demons. And we can directly move angels and demons in prayer. And bottom line is that God's solution is not two-state solution. So we need to know this. Now, if I say it outside in the sea, you know, like Australian 7 News, somebody might shoot me. But this is the Word of God. This is where we stand. See, church, government can stand on the Word of God and must. Because whatever doesn't stand on the Word of God will be sifted out. Nations who do not one nation, as I said, not Australia, not America, standing on one state, Jewish sovereign state over Israel. But God's going to do it. And all the nations that comes against their plan will be judged, will be crushed, and eventually will be burned. That's the Word of God, yeah? Okay. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. I won't be surprised if Jerusalem gets divided and this war happens. It doesn't have to be divided, but Jewish people must occupy the temple area, city of David, the whole of Jerusalem. And it'll happen. But it is not going to happen by negotiations and political maneuver. It'll happen by one sudden war. The next one. So we are praying for it, but we want to make sure our... Now, God's program for Israel, new border, is Obadiah 17 to 21. There are many other passages, like you can go to Isaiah 17, Isaiah 19, Jeremiah 49. All those passages support, you know, Psalm 83, many passages give us bigger picture, but the war is coming, and it says, for the day of the Lord, Verse 15, for the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you've done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. This is the principle of the nations. So what we sow into Jerusalem, into Israel, will come back to us. So I'm saying this decision is very important. And so I'm calling ourselves, us to prayer. As you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Drinking the cup, the wine, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness. House of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Next one. House of Jacob shall be. Does that remind you of Zechariah 12? Fire. This is when the war breaks out. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain on the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. South shall possess the mountains of Esau. Lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the field of Ephraim, field of Samaria. Benjamin will possess Gilead. Hang on. Now, where is Esau? Jordan? Palestinians? Philistia? Where is the Philistia? Gaza. Where is Ephraim and Samaria? West Bank. Where is Gilead? Golan Heights. How did God know that thousands of years later, all the trouble spots are pinpointed in the Word of God? Next slide. Captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of Canaanites as far as Zarephath. Canaanites is all of the land we call, previously called Palestine. Zarephath is southern Lebanon, where Hezbollah is shooting rockets down from there. Captives Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south, right here, Negev Desert. In fact, when you look at Isaiah 19, it says that five cities of the Egypt, probably the Sinai peninsula, will speak the languages of Canaan, Hebrew language. Israel will take those five cities back, and then the highway will be built between Assyria, Israel, and Assyria, Israel, and Egypt. Revival will take out, and Jews will travel up and down freely. And then Savior will come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The next one, Nathan. So we're going to pray, but we haven't come far enough. We need to watch out and pray, because I believe there may be small decisions now being made a few years later, based on where the world is moving with UN position, US, all of the world politics. We are going to set our direction. People will set their direction. Churches will set their direction. Nations will set their direction. Whether you are moving according to the Word of God or against. Not a popular message, but it's true. It happens to be the truth. Amen? What is our spiritual heritage? I believe our spiritual heritage, 101 years ago, 800 light horsemen of Australia, so young, youth, took Beersheba. Did you know that on the same day that the battle of Beersheba was conducted, British War Cabinet formulated Balfour Declaration that became the basis of forming modern state of Israel the same day. Australia was the closest ally and friend to Israel and to the Jews. The closest. Big army from, Great Britain couldn't take it. Australia, a few young chaps with a horse, with a few bayonets, 800 of them went there and they ran, took that place. It was absolute strategic place because it's a desert area. It's a third day. They're just about to actually die of thirst. They ran, took the place, and from there they moved on to capture Jerusalem on the same day Balfour Declaration was being formulated. God will draw all nations to Israel, all those who have divided up the land. Do we want to be there? Do we want Australian, you know, reserve army to be in that Israel and getting slaughtered? No. In fact, we don't want any of the curses. We want to set our nation right. Next slide, Nathan. The final one. We're going to pray. Because the smallest, Australia was the smallest and newest nation. It was only a teenager. The newest nation at the time. Australia came into our federation 1901? Yeah, 1901. And then we sent our young boys. And 400 years of Islamic rule was liberated. Beersheba was the only source of water in the desert. We had to take it in order to move on. And those guys charged 6 kilometers across the desert, and that was the very last cavalry charge in the history of warfare. The last one. Because now you charge, what happened? But back those days, you still, like, you know, you could miss. They charged, jump over those trenches. And even though, you know, Ottoman Empire, Turks, they had 28 artillery guns, 9 machine guns, 2 aircraft, 4,400 men, Australian, 800 light horsemen, killed 500 Turks and took 1,500 prisoners, lost only 31 of their troops and 70 horses. It was absolutely stunning victory. Australia's, I believe, what's our spiritual heritage? I believe our course. Australia is prophesied the greatest revival. You know, greatest revival. Prophesied, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It's so dry. Where is our foundation, spiritual foundation? I believe that's our spiritual foundation. The closest ally and the friend to Israel. Amen. And next 3 weeks, Scott Morrison is saying, we're going to make a decision. Indonesia is saying, you make the decision first, and then we will sign or not sign. $16.5 billion is a lot of money. Is Australia going to? Now, our Scott Morrison, he's a Bible-believing Christian. Are we going to stake our future on the Word of God or trade money? Because there's a lot of pressure. That's where we come in. Amen? Let's set the course right. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen? In fact, we're going to have some time of prayer. So, in fact, why don't we... I mean, you can sit down. I'm going to get a microphone here. And I want us to pray. I want us to, not for too long, but just come up, grab a microphone, because it's not coming on. Yeah. When we pray, what does God do? God sends his angels. He's sending the roar of authority. And he's ruling in the midst of his enemies. That's what the church is. In the midst of the enemies, we rule. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray that Australia will move into our spiritual heritage. Let's pray for Australia. We love Australia. Love Australia. We want Australia to be blessed. Make Australia blessable. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah. You can just pray in tongues. You can pray in English. You can stand up, or you can just, let's just spend next 30 minutes or 20 minutes, pray and declare in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, all these threats that are not of God, and this manipulation, you know, this control, hallelujah, this threat, this intimidation that is from the enemy will die down. It'll collapse in the name of Jesus, and God will give backbone to our Australian Prime Minister and our cabinet to make a wise decision to set Australia in the right track and the direction of blessing in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Oh Father, we call out to you, Father, send your lightning. Abba, Father, we call out upon you in the name of Jesus. You release the angels, O God, from heaven. You release heavenly armies, O God, to our Canberra, O God, to politicians, strengthen their faith, O God. Release your prophetic word, O God. Lord, the conviction to burn in the name of Jesus. O God, Australia, to be fearless, O God, and stand on the word of God. For such a time as this, O God, you put Prime Minister who understands the word of God. Lord God, this is your doing. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that we are not going to be silent, oh God, but use this opportunity, window of opportunity, oh God. We take it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, rebuke the enemy, Father God. Rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. Every poison, every threat, Father God, that you will muzzle their voice in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Send your angels, Father God. Lord, that by the December this year, Lord God, we want to have made the right choice. We want to have made solidarity with the word of God and cause great blessing to come upon this nation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Shakaraba shakala. Lord Garabasa. Now there's a microphone. You can just come and pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rakasharabakala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, Shikarabaka. Sibarakala rande bereriarabasakarabaka. Sharabakala badindiriya. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We uphold this nation. There's a microphone. Just come and get it. Lord, we uphold this nation. Lord God, we uphold, oh God, every godly, God-believing politicians, oh God, that you have put in their place, oh God. Oh Lord, we pray that you will send dreams and visions. Hallelujah. Send very strong conviction in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Remember this nation, oh God. Remember Australia, Father God, Rabasakarabaka. For such a time as this, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, Lord God, hallelujah. We'll stand with you. We'll honor your word. We honor your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As a nation, oh God, we'll honor your word. Hallelujah. Rakashakarabaka.
Father, we honor your name. Lord, we remind you, Father, you know who you are, but we have to know who you are, Father. Lord, the Bible says that you are the Most High God, the El Elyon, Father. Lord, you are the possessor of heaven and earth. Every nation belongs to you. So is the nation of Israel that you have specially given to these people. Lord, you say you are the God of the covenant. We remind you, you are the God of covenant. The covenant you will never forget for 1,000 generations. So we are here to honor you. We believe in your covenant and we pray for our government, that they will remember your covenant and fear you, Father. Lord, if we fear you, we do not need to fear men. We do not need to fear 16.5 billion is pocket change to you. 16.5 million is pocket change to you. Lord, you remember, Father, when Jesus was at the wilderness, Satan came to him and said, I will give you all the nations of the world if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said, be gone. I will worship only the Lord our God. So we pray you give such courage to our prime ministers, to our cabinet minister. They will say to all those voices of deception, be gone. We will only worship Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. We worship no other God but Yahweh. So we declare you are the King of Kings over all nations, and you are the King over Australia. And if you are our King, we have to take orders from our King, not from other people. If you are the Lord that owns this nation, then we have to take our orders, our instruction from the Lord. So we pray for courage and great wisdom, Father, on our leaders. And most of all, I pray for the right timing, because everything has a timing. We pray for the right timing because there is the Holy Spirit who's the timekeeper of heaven. We pray that the Holy Spirit will infuse, Father, our Prime Minister and all his cabinet minister, that they will listen to the right timing. Because, Lord, you remember, Father, you are the God of war. The God of the war, you are the God who say you are the Lord of hosts. You caused the army of Israel to march around Jerusalem. Keep quiet, quiet, quiet. And then on the seventh day, you David, search seven times. Lord, only at the right time they must open their mouth and shout, and the trumpet must blow. So we pray for the, the spirit, Father, spirit of self-control of our leaders. They will not open their mouth until you give them the signal. Now is the time to strike. Now is the time to shout. Now is the time to sign, Father. So we pray you give them patience and wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Just come forward and grab a microphone and pray. We're going to agree. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. You promise us, as we humble ourselves before you, we pray to you, you will hear our prayers and you'll heal our land. We thank you, Father God. This nation is sitting up now as a nation, but we have to stand up and take our position. You've called this country, you've named us the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God. The Holy Spirit hovers over Israel right now, and we as a country are standing with Israel. We thank you, Father God. We lift up Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. We thank you that we as a Christian nation have pushed Scott Morrison into his seat.
Yes, Lord.
But we thank you, Father God, that now's our time to stand. This year is Australia's time. We're in a season.
Yes.
Jesus for Australia. Jesus for Australia. We thank you. Your will be done. As we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be done for us. And as we delight ourselves in you, Lord, you'll give us the desires of our hearts. And we stand together now where two or more are gathered together, you're there amongst us. And when two or three agree about anything, what we ask for shall be done by our Father in heaven. So we agree now, Father God, we agree now that Scott Morrison, he's already made the decision in his heart, Father God. But just give him the strength.
Amen.
And giving the encouragement from good men around him, godly men, to go forward with the decision that is against his peers. It's peer group pressure, the political pressure, the nation. And Father, we just bind the enemy because, Lord, you've given us all authority over the power of the enemy, over the power of the darkness. So we stand now and we speak and declare into the spiritual atmosphere, the enemy be bound right now. Stand down, back off, you're broken. You be bound. You've got no strength. It's all just deception. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, and he gives us all power and authority. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you've answered our prayers in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we pray for all those in the current government as well as in the opposition parties who are at this point against your word and making decisions against it. Lord, I ask your forgiveness that I haven't prayed enough for those who are standing contrary to the word of God. Father, we need in this nation a bipartisan vision for what is according to your will. So I pray, Lord, for Bill Shorten and the Labour Party. I pray, Lord, for Premier Daniel Andrews of Victoria and the premiers of all the other states in this nation and all the parties that are standing for policies contrary to your word. Father, we pray for your mercy to soften their hearts. Father, we pray that you will find a way to soften hearts and open blind eyes. In Jesus' name, we silence the lies of the devil that are spoken into them, that cause them to choose contrary to your word. And also for those within the current government, Lord, who use human wisdom and do not found their choices by the word of God. Soften their hearts, Lord. Draw them to you. And Father, we pray for a change of heart in our leaders and those who aspire to leadership in every party, Lord. Draw them to yourself. Father, we pray that this nation will have godly men and women in every party and in every level of government whom you will rise to the surface so that we will have a bipartisan vision for of what God wants this for this nation. Mm. And Father, I also bring before you the leaders of the body of Christ in this nation. Lord, my heart was concerned when Pastor Paul said that we are hearing very little call to prayer concerning this issue. Father, we pray for the leaders whom you have put in charge of your body in this nation, in every denomination. Father, through visions and dreams and conviction of your scripture, we pray that your pastors and your teachers will have a sense of urgency put into their hearts, Father, that they will mobilize your people in earnest prayer concerning these matters in these coming weeks and months. Father, we do not want to wait until our federal election. We want to start praying now that the course of the heart of this nation and its leaders in government, in the church, in media, in entertainment, in the education system, your leaders' hearts will turn to you so that the votes will be cast according to your will. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Maybe just a couple more. Just pray. And then we're going to have another prayer on Friday night, 10 to 12. But let's just, come together.
Father, we pray, Lord, that you will visit our governmental leaders, our prime minister, and any leader who has a say in this matter. Lord, just as you have visited, oh God, rulers and kings, oh God, and governors in the past, Lord, with dreams and visions that woke them up, that disturbed them so much, that put a fear of God into them. So I pray, we pray, oh Lord, that you will visit our leaders, oh God, and night visions and dreams. You will confront them, you will warn them, you will speak to them clearly, oh God, concerning your land, concerning your people, and concerning the city of the king, oh God, that we will make right decisions and we will align ourselves with your purpose for Israel and with your city of Jerusalem, so that, look at the door of blessing will be opened of our nation and any doors of curse will be closed of our nation. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that also that churches all over our land, prayer groups, oh God, praying men and women, intercessors all over our land will be awakened by your spirit. That Lord, that the angel of Israel awakening will, oh God, visit our cities, visit our towns, visit our villages, oh God. That Lord, your people will be awakened supernaturally with a supernatural love for your people Israel. And Lord, for your city, oh God, Zion, oh God, Jerusalem, that Lord, oh God, your people, your churches all over our land will begin to awaken with an urgent prayer and intercession and supplication for your city. That Lord, as a church goes, so the nation goes. So we pray your church will arise today, will awaken today. Oh God, praying men and women, you will arouse them all over our land. They will pray aright. Oh God, you will awaken our hearts with a love for Israel and awaken our hearts that they will be urgent about, oh God, being right, being aligned properly with your city of Jerusalem. Oh God, so that Lord, that your blessing will come upon our nation, our children, all the prophetic word hanging over our land, oh God, will be unleashed over our nation, oh God, blessing. The revival will indeed come our land. Move your spirit will indeed crash over our land, because the door of blessing will open as we align ourselves, oh God, with your people, with your nation, with your purpose, oh God, for your city, Jerusalem, in this day. So Father, we pray, Lord, do that which that you do by your spirit, oh God. Oh God, we pray the fear of God will come upon, oh God, our leaders, our government, and our churches, oh God. Oh God. The Lord, your holy purpose, oh God, oh God, will be fulfilled, oh God, for our nation of Australia. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance. Father, we thank you that you are a God of against all odds. Father, you have raised Scott Morrison in this country, Lord, at a time such as this. This is a prophetic time. This is like the times of Esther. Father, the odds may be against you in the natural, but your counsel stands forever. Amen. Father, we pray that we stand, O Lord, with your counsel. We ask that you guide us by your Spirit. Because your word says in the last days, you will pour out a spirit of prophecy on all flesh, O Father. Pour it out on your church, O Lord, as in the day of Pentecost, O Father. A prophetic voice will rise from the church, O Lord. Even as that prophetic voice rises, O Lord, we burn every fears, every political correctness in the name of Yeshua. Instead, O Lord, a spirit of boldness, as in the days of the book of Acts, O Lord, will come upon the church to stand righteously in the name of Yeshua. So we stand with this government, O Father. We pray, Father, that your presence, O Lord, to come upon the parliament in every decision that is made, O Father. We pray for the church that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon the church, O Lord, so that we will, Lord, take a righteous stance. Because your word says, O Lord, as we look around, O Lord, there are so many gates of hell. But your word says, O Lord, I will build my church. I will build my church. And gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Build your church, O Lord. And we pray that you raise watchmen, raise intercessors, O Lord, who know their God, who are led by the Holy Spirit at a time such as this, O Lord, so that righteousness will prevail in this nation, O Lord. If this nation were to suffer anything, be it financially or anything, Father, we pray it will be a seed, it will be a sacrifice before you, O Lord. We know, Lord, your sacrifices, that we bring a sacrifice before you, O Lord, an acceptable sacrifice, O Lord. You follow it with a blessing, O Lord. Father, there's words that have been spoken over this nation, that, O Lord, this is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. This is God's territory. This is a nation that will stand with Israel. This will be a nation like, O Lord, that you raised Daniels, O Lord. We raised sons of Issachar, O Lord, who know the times and seasons. And, O Lord, we will pray your word into being, and that we will be part of the last move of God at a time such as this in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, the last one. This is the quick one. Yeah.
I just felt the Lord saying that, like Balaam went to curse Israel and blessings came out of his mouth. When they go to go curse
Amen.
Israel, only blessings will come out of their mouth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will put it there.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. We've done something.
Yes.
Keep praying. Yeah. Because I really believe last week, Sunday, I felt God is saying, God will remember those who will pray. Because you are loving Australia. You really love Australia when you pray for this. Yeah, your prayers will go up and God will remember you and bless you. So the Lord bless you, fill you with his wisdom and knowledge. Such a time as this we were born. Father, I pray that you will just, your glory will rest upon your people. Spirit of revelation, understanding, O God, will rest upon us, O God. And Lord, our prayers will move heaven. Move angels, O God,
yes.
And move government, Lord
yes.
God. And the prayers of your people will set this nation in the right direction
yes.
upon our true spiritual foundation, O God,
yes.
that you've given us, Lord God. Mm. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we just bless you. And, Father, we pray that the pleasure of the Lord,
yes.
Lord, anointing of the Holy Spirit, O God, rest upon your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, the Lord bless you. Tea and coffee at the back, and yeah.